Again, it's so good to see each of you this morning, and we're thankful that we have the privilege to be able to adore with joy the great Lord of our salvation, our God Almighty. This morning, I ask you to turn with me to the very first page of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I've had on my heart, really since we came, to begin a study of what we call our articles of faith. And I hope to do it in a systematic way. Those that are of a certain age remember the World Book Encyclopedias. That was our internet of the day, wasn't it? That's how we found out about things of the world, and what a joy it was to be able to just get them down and just look through them. It was amazing the knowledge that were in those, 20 to 22, 23 volumes of books that was the world of knowledge as we understood it at that time. But one of my favorite things about the World Book Encyclopedias was in certain ones of them, you would find these plastic overlays. And I loved to see how things would develop. And the human body, you know, you start with the skeleton, and then it would lay the organs and the sinews and the muscles and all the things pertaining to the body. I loved how that it would just layer upon each other until you start from a beginning point and you come to the conclusion of it. That's my desire as we begin this study, is that it would be as that plastic overlay. That it would be something that each week we will be able to lay over what we see the week before, until at the very end of it we will see the entire process that God has used in saving His people and bringing us into His family and the things that we enjoy doing. So as we think of this, you have to have a beginning somewhere, don't you? And what better place to begin than in the beginning? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bear with me for a few minutes as I just kind of share some thoughts that came to me this week as I was trying to study this out. And in order to get to the end, there must be a beginning. And in all of our lives, it seems that at some point, usually early on, we had a goal that we set that we wanted to achieve. For me, I wanted to be a cowboy. I had my six shooters and everything. I was ready to go. I had it all planned out. I was going to be a cowboy. Now, I wouldn't even know how to get on a horse, much less ride one. But we perceive what we hope to accomplish in life. And along the way, as we go down that path, that road that we call life, there's potholes. And there's wrong turns, and there's missed turns, and there's obstacles and little side trips that we take. And sometimes those side trips are good, and sometimes those side trips lead us to a dead end. We have to come back and start all over again. So, understanding that, how do we go about, how do we approach each day? How do we approach the beginning of each day? When we come to the end of the day and we approach the beginning of the night, how do we go about that? How do we go about living each day? How do we cope with the ups and the downs? How do we cope with the potholes of the roads of life? How do we cope with the wrong turns that we make? And if I'm honest with myself, and probably if you're honest with yourself, we've all made wrong turns. We've all had to stop and turn around and come back to the beginning. So the beginning is always a good place to be able to plot and drive a stake down there so that you can come back to that point as often as is necessary. This morning, as I begin this series of messages, I admit to you, they're not completely planned out. I know where I want to go with them. I know where the ending is going to be, Lord willing. But I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. And so it'll be several messages in this. And I always hesitate to call it a series because sometimes people get bored with series. But I hope that this will be a series of messages, individual, that will stand on their own. And I hope to accomplish what I want to accomplish in the teaching of these messages. In the beginning, there was a beginning. And when God started the beginning, there was an end. And there is an end for us. And God has plotted it out all the way through. God has determined the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what He's going to do, how He's going to respond, what's going to happen in our lives. He doesn't cause everything to happen in our lives, but He knows what's going to happen, and He has that beginning for us, each and every one of us, that we can come back to when we make that wrong turn. We can come back to that. That's my desired result, is that as we look at these, that I won't present them to you just as cold, hard facts. And I've done that before. I present them just as that's the way that it is. But I want it to be presented in such a way that as we receive these messages, that we understand that not only is that the way that it is, according to God's Word, and if I can't give you God's Word, then you just throw it out the window. But that's the way it is according to God's Word. But also, that it has an application for me on a daily basis. So when I read Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, I can present, and I will present some cold facts to you in just a little while, but I want you to understand something. That not only does that have the beginning for this universe as we understand it, that's the beginning for our lives as well. That's the beginning point. That's the place that we must come back to every single time when we make that wrong turn, when we make that wrong decision, when we do something that we regret, we want to turn around and come back to it. We come back to, in the beginning, God. Now, I thought about Saul of Tarsus and how that Saul, for a great portion of his life, he presented cold, hard facts. The law of God. You might say, well, that's God's law. And I'm not presented in such a way as to say that it's not God's. I'm just saying somehow how we perceive it sometimes has an effect on how that we live it. So Saul, he spent most of his life presenting cold, hard facts. He was a learned man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and if I understand, Gamaliel was top dog. He was the one that was the most learned man concerning the law of God in that day and time. You had any questions, you went to Gamaliel, and he would answer those questions according to, this is what God says. And Paul, as he sat at the feet of Gamaliel and he began to learn and apply those things in his life, that head knowledge of what God had said, he was presenting it to people as pound. I can just see him pounding his fist. This is what God says, and this is what you're to do. There's a time for that. But also there's a time when we realize, this is what God says. And this is how it applies to me. This is what God is speaking to me. And so as we receive this, I want us to receive it as such as God is speaking to our hearts today concerning things that are in our lives, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance might be, that God is speaking to us. Paul, as he was talking about, writing to the Romans, he was talking about that law. And I promise you, I'm going to get to my text in a moment. But as he was writing to the Romans concerning what he was, he said, I was alive without the law once. In other words, everything was all right in his life. He would be able to sit there or stand there and somebody ask him a question and he could give that answer just like that. He said, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, what was he saying in that? What does it mean when the commandment came? He said, I was alive without the law once. And that's not saying that he lived outside the law. As far as he was able to, I believe that Paul obeyed the law of God. In fact, he would refer to himself as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was right up there, he would say. He said, but when the commandment came, sin revived. And I died. What's the difference between the law and the commandment? I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, I died. Sin was revived in me. I had to look it up. Commandment, according to Strong's Concordance, the word commandment means a personal application. It is, and in fact, one of the words that is used for it is a prescription. Prescription. You receive a prescription. Does that piece of paper help you? Not until you take it and apply it. Get it filled and apply it into your life. Then it begins to take effect. So he says, I was alive without the law. In other words, that was just some cold things. In fact, as they would write to the church at Corinth, he'd say it was engraved in stone. But when it became engraved in my heart, then I realized, and it became alive. So this morning, whatever intention that God has in stirring my heart and bringing me to this place, I don't want it to be just cold, hard facts. I don't want it to be just a law that I stand up here and pound my fist, and I've been known to pound the pulpit a time or two. But I don't want it to be just that. I want it to be something that we receive and realize that there's application in our lives. Another very practical example of this, there are federal laws, there are state laws, and each state law sometimes can vary just a little bit. For instance, there's a law in the state of Missouri, and I got some Missouri folks that are watching, but there's a law in the state of Missouri that when you go to register your automobile, you have to get two tags, license plates, one for the front, one for the back. That law applies in Missouri. If you're a resident in Missouri, you obey that law. That law is applied to you. Now, living here in Georgia, that's a law over there, but it doesn't apply to us here, does it? But when we went to Missouri and we moved there, then all of a sudden, it wasn't just a matter of, I just want to put a plate on the back like I've always done it. No, the law is this, and it applies. So as we receive this, I don't want us to receive it as, well, it applies out there or over there or to somebody over here. I want myself to receive it as, this is what God is saying to me. What God is saying to me. And now, as he's doing this, as he's talking about this, Paul, as he says, I came back to the commandment, he had to come back to the beginning. Again, I realize I haven't got to my text yet, and when I get there, it'll go fast. But sometimes when we make those wrong turns and we've got to come back to the beginning, let me give you another example of that. When we lived in Tifton, one week we decided, the kids were in Tennessee with the grandparents, and so Judy and I decided we were going to go to Panama City. We went, stayed a couple of days, we were coming back. I knew how to get there. I didn't need my map. I knew how to get back to Tifton. I got to Tallahassee, and I took a wrong exit. And when I finally realized we were on the wrong road, I should have turned around right then and gone back to the beginning. Did I? No. We kept going. I'm kin to Daniel Boone, so I followed the sun. I know that Thomasville's that way, and if I get back to Thomasville, I can get back to Tifton. What should have been a 15 to 20 minute drive, about an hour and a half later, we pulled into Thomasville. I thought we were literally going to get into the creek bank before that we got back to Thomasville. So what I'm saying is this, sometimes we just got to stop and turn around and go back to the beginning. What I'm going to share with you this morning is so fundamental. It's so fundamental. It's so, I don't even want you to think that I'm trying to insult your intelligence by what I'm going to share with you, but I want us to understand that maybe in some of our lives, in my life, I need to come back to this point In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. When I think too highly of myself, I need to come back to that point of, in the beginning, God. I need to come back to that place where that Paul arrived, and when he said, but it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. There's a great message in that also. There's one letter difference between what Paul said and what God said to Moses. God said, I am that I am. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. One letter difference makes the difference of the whole world as far as the way that we see it. So when we come back to that point, I am what I am. By the grace of God. I'm not a self-made person. Thank God for that. I'd hate to think what I would really be if I had made myself to be what I wanted to be. But God. So when I begin this series, if I can point us back, I know you came in today thinking God is God and I need Him and I want to worship Him. I know you came in with that thought. And so when we leave today, if we can leave with that same thought, God is God, and I need Him, and I want to worship Him. I want to come back to that very basic beginning of God. In the beginning, God. If I can point us back to that beginning this morning, then I will say that the message today has been successful. And that's my desire, is that the message would be successful. Genesis 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In the beginning, God. As you look at this first chapter of Genesis, I'm not going to read all of it, but you find there was a total of 7 days that are listed here. 6 days, God created. 6 days, God worked. 6 days, God was active. The seventh day says that God was rest. That doesn't mean that God suddenly just stopped doing anything. On our day of rest, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there. But when it says that God rested, it wasn't that He just stopped doing everything. It was that there was no more of creation to be made. And if you read through this chapter, at the end of every day, God said, it was good. It is good. It is good. 6 times. And when He completed creation, He said, it is very good. Now, if God says something is very good, what room is there for improvement in that? What room is there for anything to become better than what it was when God finished creating it? It is good. 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 It's very good. God finished creation. What I'm saying there is this. There is a theory that has almost, in many realms, it has become fact the way that people receive it. There is a theory that this universe is all by accident. Can you imagine something as complex as this universe being an accident? An accident is something that happens and you hope you're out of it, no more of it. It isn't an accident. God said, and it was. God spoke it, and it happened. The power of God. This is where I want us to have this application in our lives. Yes, there's that practical application that God created this universe. He created it absolutely good. And when it says good, there's no good, better, and best that Sears Roebuck used to say. When God said it's good, that means it's perfect. The way that He created it is exactly the way it was. And what I want us to get out of that this morning, if nothing else, is that there is one in my life Who is perfect? We were kidding this morning. And I'm going to say it. At Brooklyn, there's a young lady that she would always say to Judy that the two of them were cute. They were cute. And if you knew this young lady, then you understood that it was a precious thing for her to say that. So this morning, Judy walked in the kitchen. She said, "Am I cute?" And I said, "You're perfect." And she said, "No, there's none good, no, not one," which we'll get to that in our series also. But there is one who's perfect in our lives. And sometimes we've got to go back to that very basic beginning. That God is perfect. And in His perfection, God loves me in my imperfection. God loves me in the ways that I've made those wrong turns and made those wrong decisions and got stuck in the potholes and was so absolutely stubborn. Did I just say that? That I wouldn't turn around and go back to the beginning. I wanted to forge my own way, and I thought I was going to have to get out an axe to make my way to get to Thomasville on that trip. But sometimes in life, I'm the same way. I just want to forge ahead. I just want to keep going. When God says, "Come here. Turn around. Come back to the beginning." In the beginning, God. Come back to that very basic, fundamental understanding. That when there was nothing, God is. I'm tempted to say God was, but He wasn't, and He won't be. He is. He always is. He always... can't hardly say it without. He always has been. He always will be. But His, in the present tense, God is. So He says, "Come back to Me. Come back to that which is real. Come back to that which is the beginning, where you started. Come back to that place where that I gave you purpose." Which brings us into the spiritual application of these, especially the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. It says that, verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Again, you found out really early that I enjoy looking up the meaning of the words in the original language from Strong's. Not that I'm a scholar, but I open up the concordance and I go look for the meanings of it. It's very interesting when you start looking at the meanings of the words in verse 2. And the earth. I understand that's a grand, this planet that we live on. Was nothing. In fact, God speaking to Job said that He hung the north on an empty space. And He hung the earth on nothing. That's only the power of God that can do that. But when you think about the earth, what are we made of? The earth. We're nothing but dust. And I read once several years ago, if you took all the minerals and elements of the body and you weighed them and you sold them, you might get $1.98. I think of that every time I start thinking highly of myself. I may be worth $1.98. Inflation, I might be $2.05 by now. But it's nothing in relation to what I think that I am sometimes. The earth was without form. That word "without form," it means it was nothing. Can I tell you, before Jesus came into my heart, I was nothing? This is not original with me, but if you take the word "Christian" and you take the word "Christ" out of that, you remain with I-A-N. I am nothing without Christ. Without form. I was nothing. And with nothing, it goes on to say, there was something that was there. Confusion and chaos and desolation. Can you remember a time in your life when that applied? And you remember a time when it seemed like there was no purpose in life whatsoever. And for me, I'm ashamed to say it, but there have been times I've taken that wrong trip and I wound up with that same place in total confusion and total chaos and total desolation. So I have to go back to verse 1. In the beginning, God. I've got to turn around and go back to that point. For you see, without God, I'm nothing. Without God, it's chaos. Without God, it's confusion. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place of darkness? Have you ever been to that point where it just seemed like that there was absolutely no purpose, no reason, no rhyme, even to continue on? If you haven't, God bless you and get on your knees before this day is over and praise Him for it. Because I'm telling you, it's not a pleasant place to be. But the earth was without form. It was in total chaos. It was void. It was empty. It was a waste place. It was in ruins. And then darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that word darkness means misery and sorrow. I promise you, before it's over with, this series is going to get better. But right now, it seems to me that in order for me to appreciate what comes next, I've got to realize what I was without God. And what I am now when I try to take my own way and my own path and go in my own direction. I wind up in that same place of desolation, that same place of confusion, that same place of chaos, and usually it's all swirling around in my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? I mean, there's nothing that's there that's worthwhile. But God. In the beginning, God, you go back to that place. You go back to that point because that God did not leave us in that place. God did not leave us in that form. God did not leave us in that void. He didn't leave us in that darkness. He didn't leave us in that confusion, in that chaos. It says, and the Spirit of God moved. I'm telling you that there was no purpose in any of our lives until the Spirit of God began to move upon us and began to stir our hearts and quicken us and make us alive in Christ Jesus. There's nothing about us until Christ began to move. The Spirit began to move. And as the Spirit began to move, that which was darkness became light. That which was confusion became peace. That which was in chaos became order. That which was nothing became everything in Christ Jesus. Without Him we're nothing, but in Him we're everything that God has determined us to be. And we must walk in that path. We must walk in that light. And if we make that wrong turn, we've got to come back to the beginning. That's why every once in a while I just got to come back and start reading Genesis 1:1 all over again. In the beginning, there was nothing before the Spirit moved. But once the Spirit began to move, there was light. And when there's light, there's hope. And when there's hope, there's peace. And when there's peace, there's joy. When there's joy, there's comfort. When there's comfort, there's contentment. Can you see where that we were before Christ and where we are and can be in Christ? Total peace, total order, total perfection. You might say, well, I'm not perfect. We just already said that, right? But we're striving toward perfection. We're striving in that direction. We're looking toward perfection. We're keeping our eyes upon Jesus as we're walking, as we're doing the path that God has laid before us. We're laying aside those things and coming back to the beginning every time we have to. We're coming back so that once again we can be going pointed in the right direction. Let there be light. And if God is in our presence, I'm telling you, there's light. Oh, sometimes there's clouds. The last few days, we've had clouds, we've had sunlight. We've had all of those things that are going on. When the clouds, we don't see the light, but, I mean, again, I'm not trying to you go against your basic knowledge, but the sun's still there, isn't it? Even though the clouds may be blocking it out temporarily, the sun's still there. And things of this life may block it out for a temporary time in our lives. But I'm telling you, the S-O-N, the Son of God, is still there. He's still upon His throne. He's still reigning and He's still ruling. And He is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I'm going to tell you, if I make the wrong turn, I'm walking away from the light. And if I'm walking away from the light, I'm headed toward the darkness. There's really not that much gray area in between. There might be a dusk. And at dusk is when we need to turn and come back to the light. Because in darkness, there's that confusion and chaos. In the beginning, God. When you're in that darkness, you hear all kinds of voices. And I'm going to tell you, Satan is good at disguising his voice. I think I've shared this with you before, and if so, I'm going to share it again. He's so good at disguising his voice that he'll make you think that it's you talking to yourself, saying that you've gone too far this time. You can't turn around. There's no change. There's no hope. And after a while, you start hearing that. And you start believing that. And you start becoming that. Until you turn around and go back to the light. Until you go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God. David, in his wisdom and by inspiration of God, said, His God's anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. But my favorite word, but joy cometh in the morning. Yes, there's dark times, but I'm telling you, morning is coming. Why? Because in the beginning, God. And God doesn't change. Never has and He never will. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, as he was prophesying concerning what John the Baptist would do, he said that this son of his would go forth to give knowledge of salvation. And that's what the thought of this entire message series that I hope to do is, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of God. There is no salvation outside of God. There is no mercy outside of God. There is no hope outside of God. There is no peace outside of God. There is nothing outside of God. So you can see why it's so very important this morning that we come back to that very basic fundamental truth. God is unchanging. And Paul went to a great length to tell us that God will never stop loving us. You mean even when I'm walking in chaos and confusion, God still loves me? But I hear that voice saying that, how could God love you? The Word of God, which the Lord willing, next week we're going to see, the Word of God says that He loves me. So who am I to try to confute what God's Word says? Who am I to try to refute that, to go against that, to say, I know that's what God says, but... When you put the butt in there like that, you butted grace right out of it. I'm telling you, God never stops loving us. Never. If He did, I've given Him 1,000 chances to stop loving me. And He never has. And He never will. And sometimes I've got to go back to that beginning. You hear me say it? I don't know how many times I've said it in the few months I've been here. Sometimes I have to go back to that little song. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. When I say the Bible tells me so, Lord willing, next week we're going to see that when the Bible tells me so, it's God telling me so. It's God speaking. So who am I going to believe? one who is trying to destroy and devour me, from one who loves me and gave his son to die for me. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Until you factor in the fact that Satan is able to disguise his voice. He's able to even transform himself to where that he appears as an angel of light. But his appearance is only temporary. God is. I'm not John the Baptist, but I have the same exact message for you this morning and for the messages to come, to give knowledge of the salvation of God that's in Christ Jesus. For those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, the message is there's light, there's hope, there's comfort, there's purpose, there's order when we're walking with the Lord. May God help us to, this coming week, whatever situation we may find ourselves in, whatever trouble, problem, circumstance that Satan starts yelling, getting in our face, that we just stop and say, but God. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that He's given to us that blessed assurance that He loves us and will never stop? Without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I'm able to create a total mess and wreak havoc. I'm able to make a mountain out of a molehill. But with God, I'm able to do all things which strengthens me through Christ Jesus, my Lord. May we be reminded of that simple fact this morning. Again, I know maybe my thoughts have been rambling, and maybe I've just gone in circles, and maybe I've taught you some, or reminded you of something that you learned however many years ago. If so, then praise God that we've been reminded of that simple thing. God is in control, not man. God is in control. In the beginning, God, and I can say now at the end, it's going to be God. And He's all in between. As we stand and sing this morning, you have a desire to serve the Lord at this place called the Grace Primitive Baptist Church. I give you the opportunity to stand and let your desires be made known. That God will bless us together to serve Him in this place, together, hand in hand, arm in arm, looking unto Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Let's please stand together. Return to hymn number 301. Revive us again.